At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of The Shay Show. Episode 3 now, talking about my youth internship. I kind of hinted at this in previous episodes, but yeah, the episode is now here. As you can see on video, I'm back at college. Shout out to Messiah Esports is where I'm recording this right now, because that's where we have good mics. Although, I might be recording in my dorm room, depending on, I just ordered a condenser mic from Amazon, so we'll see how that sounds. Maybe I'll use it, maybe I won't. We'll see. But yeah, just wanted to hop in before and kind of explain the format of this podcast. So episode 3 will contain this intro bit, and then we're going to go into an interview with my boss, a.k.a. Lance Venn, the youth pastor. And then I asked him a couple of questions during my internship there, and then afterwards we'll come back and I'll discuss how a lot of my takeaways, personal things that I didn't talk about with Lance, just because we didn't get on the topic. And yeah, so yeah. Let's get into the interview with Lance.
There it is. So just to sync it.
Oh, okay. I thought we were just doing that.
Nah, I wish I could just do that for fun.
Declan also does this thing where he snaps his hand. And for some reason, you use that as a I agree with you statement.
Like, yeah, come on.
Whenever you're excited, you snap your fingers.
All right. Well, that's a good way to introduce it. Thank you, Lance, for joining me.
You're very welcome.
On this podcast. Second time?
Second time, yeah. First time was a year ago.
No.
A little over.
It was a couple months ago. It was when I interviewed for that thing.
Time. Yes.
Yes.
But do you remember you used to have a podcast?
I did.
Or it wasn't a podcast. It was like an attempt to start one.
Yeah, with Steven, Daniel,
yeah. Yeah, that was a while
Max.
Ago.
Yeah. Hopefully, I'm planning to release some of the guest episodes that we did. Because okay. I want them to come out. Like, there was one I had with my high school science teacher.
Okay.
So I'm hoping that comes out.
Oh, very cool.
Hopefully,
yeah,
the last
time I was on was a couple months ago while you were still at school through Zoom.
Yes.
That was fun, yeah. All right, so reoccurring guest.
Yes.
Nice.
But yeah, we're just going to talk about kind of like my internship and me being your, what's the thing,
underling? I think that's it.
Is it?
No, that's not what it is. I'm
I don't know. I work under you.
Yes, yeah. Well, first, thank you so much for applying for the residency and wanting to do it. So we call it a residency here because we want it to mean a little bit more than an internship.
Yeah.
You're not someone who's just coming and going. We're hoping to potentially keep you longer, and we have a history with you. So thank you for being here. Even if it was just the summer.
Yeah.
But still, what was it? I don't know, 8, 9, 10 weeks or whatever.
Yeah.
But it still somehow went fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. From your perspective, what was like how would I describe this? What was the idea of having me behind, like, as the intern, on the summer?
Yeah, well, we've had residents in the past for the youth, and they've been great. You're the first full summer resident that we've had that was also a youth year.
Mm-hmm.
So we had other ones here for shorter time but you were the longest one, which was nice coming in.
Were Micah and Noah only like 8 weeks or something like that?
Yeah, but they weren't previous students here. So you were the first one coming in as a previous student in the youth ministry. And that was real nice because now all of a sudden we have your perspective from both sides.
Yep.
So we were able to talk about things like, hey, when you were a student, how did this seem?
Mm-hmm.
How did this event go off from your perspective? And now all of a sudden you're on the other side, like from behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It actually was a nice perspective to have because we haven't had that before. So I like being able to see things from both ways because mm-hmm. I could be blind thinking like, everybody loves this.
Yeah.
And it's like, half the kids thought it was okay.
Oh,
so this way was better.
Does the student leadership team not as well do that? Or like, this is just a curious thing for me.
Oh, the student leadership team?
Yeah.
No. The student leadership team is great. I actually launched it. You were on the initial team, which I kind of based all the preceding teams on. But no, all the student leader teams have been great. Mm-hmm. I mean, not surprisingly, right? Like, we take the students that either want to be on or that I could see that are natural leaders.
Yeah.
And I get us all in a room and say, hey, what do you see? That's real nice because they get to do that. But now the reason I was saying is like, you're actually removed from it a little. You're mm-hmm. even off the team, you know, graduated out of it. So now you're all looking back, which is nice. Yeah. So All of the student leader teams have been really good. And it's actually one of my favorite things I've done mm-hmm. as a youth pastor, because you get the kids that are really into it telling you, hey, this is what people or kids like me want to see more of. Let's do things like that more.
Gotcha.
I get excited about that.
All right. That makes sense then, of like the difference. What were you hoping like I would gain from this internship or residency?
Yeah, well, for sure, I was hoping you get an idea of whether you wanted to do ministry. Because some people come into an internship or a residency and they're saying like, well, I know I want to do pastoral ministry. And then they get through and they're like, oh, I don't know if I want to do this at all. So it's like, how wonderful is it that you get to do this residency for, you know, a few months and you get like a taste of what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
So like for you, Declan, if you're like, you came to a bunch of like the meetings or hanging out with students and stuff, if you were to come to those things and you'd be like, I don't like this at all, like this is not something I want to do long term, then it's like easy. I'm be thankful that mm-hmm. you did that, because now, you know, you don't have to, you know, quote unquote, waste time following a career path when it's not something you want to do.
Yeah.
So that was like my main thing, hoping that you would find or be able to refine what path you kind of want to go in the future. And if it's in ministry, great. And if not, you have a better idea after mm-hmm. this.
Yeah. What like stood out to you over the course of the residency?
Stood out with you, of course.
Yeah. Or well, just in general, I guess.
One thing is, I always knew you were like a great student to be around, and you had good ideas and stuff. I didn't realize how helpful you were. Like, that's a real thing. Like, you even said one of the things, like, you were wondering when you were on that missions trip, like, am I going to have moments where I, like, don't feel like I don't want to do something? Mm-hmm. Never did I feel like that with you. Like, you always seemed ready to do more or to, like, hey, what's next? And that's really nice, because mm-hmm. sometimes I've gone on missions trips with kids or been around, like, college kids, and they'll be like, all right, are we done? I need a break. I'm like, we've been out here 40 minutes. Like, we got a long way to go. But especially with kids camp, there's a lot of like tedious things you have to do. And everything you said, like, you're like, I'm done, let's go. Like, what's next? Mm-hmm. Never once did you feel, or did I feel like I was bothering you, which happens. So I was really appreciative about that. Like, just how willing you were to like go to the, help out with the next thing. And I said this in your goodbye speech that I just gave at staff meeting, saying like that you were like wanting to, you wish that you were around more so you could help at more things. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what a great like attitude, to thinking like you don't even have to be like the main driver, and you weren't looking for credit. You were like wanting to be an extra set of hands. Mm-hmm. So like Cindy or Pastor Matt or myself were able to do more. Mm-hmm. And almost like you take things off our plate, and now that would free us up to go do the next thing. And that's like ideal resident.
Mm-hmm. It actually kind of reminds me of like when I interviewed you a couple months ago, and I was asking you about like, you know, one of your favorite things to do is like delegate, not because, you know, you don't want to do other things, but then, you know, they can do certain things and you can do more, kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. And along with that is actually like, if I delegate to someone, say we're at youth group, right? You know, we have a large youth group, and I'm like, hey, I don't want to do the welcome, but I want someone like Tim to do the welcome. Now Tim gets to try that out, see if he likes it. And all of a sudden, like, Tim is fantastic at mm-hmm. doing the welcome. I may never have to do another welcome in my life. Mm-hmm. Not because I'm not capable, not because I wanted something else to do, but Tim gets to do that, where he actually spends time thinking and creating like a really creative opening and welcome. And that frees me up to mm-hmm. spend more time on the message, spend more time meeting with that kid one-on-one, spend more time like planning. And like it, when you get to delegate stuff like that, it's like, oh man, you get to like really multiply what you're doing. And then someone else gets to find a passion that they figure out, oh wow, you're really good at that.
Mm-hmm. How was like my residency, you think, besides the student, like being a former student, how was my residency different from the previous residents that were here?
You were certainly the most, what can I do next guy. I remember in the past, we had residents that they're very much trying to fill out a resume. Like, hey, I got to work at this big church, and isn't it great? Look at all the stuff that I've done. So they were like trying to get like all this like credit for just being here. and not really willing to work. And I think you coming from this church, you don't know like any different. Like this is the church world for you. So it just kind of makes sense for you to step in and start running, where they were like trying to like create their own ministry within this or something, or like trying to like, it was very weird. They were like trying to do like their own thing while they were here. And I'm like, hey dude, like I see what you're trying to do. Everyone sees what you're trying to do. And it's not helpful. Like we have a ministry that you're coming in to help. Help us. Don't come in and try and break up the youth group so you can start this little like side Bible study group of your own that you can be proud of and like say that you did this and then you're leaving. It's like, that's not helpful. Like you're coming in to help. Help. Like we're the ones staying here. So like you did that exactly. And that was super helpful because it was like you did that immediately. Like you came in to grow the ministry that you were sent here to help. And that was nice. There was like no hidden agenda with you. Whereas in the past there was, especially in the very beginning, I remember there was one resident who just wanted to come in and do his own thing. And I was like, dude, you don't realize like what damage you're doing. Mm-hmm. Now I have to go fix this because you were trying to do your own thing. That was frustrating. Yeah.
Would you say like from the residency you saw like different strengths I had versus like different areas of like growth I need to improve on?
You've always been a strong speaker. So I appreciated that coming in, knowing that like I knew there was gonna be 2 weeks where I was gone, right? Mm-hmm. Puerto Rico and the other,
was it Hume?
Was that Hume? Yeah, the summer camp. But either way, whatever it was, like I didn't feel like I was that the teaching would drop,
mm-hmm.
because you were taking over.
Yeah.
And that's a relief. Like we all need work on speaking, and it was actually fun getting to hear your sermon, the prep for your sermon, mm-hmm. and then being able to say, hey, that was really good. Let's adjust these few things.
Yeah.
And what would happen if you sounded this way instead of that way? And then you adjusted it, and it's all of a sudden it's that much better.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really nice. Coming in with someone who's already a fairly good speaker,
mm-hmm.
was really nice, because then I didn't have to like worry about that.
You'd have to also do like a baseline test.
Yeah, it also wasn't like, hey Declan, we're gonna go through like a 3-point sermon, make sure you use scripture, like little things like that.
Yeah.
Like you knew how to do that already. So then what we were doing is one of the things that we try and do here at Wellness Hill is we're refining excellence. Like the bar we're shooting for is excellence. So like once we're there and you start critiquing that, those critiques don't seem like a big deal. I'm not like saying, hey Declan, you don't know what you're doing, start over.
Yeah.
I'm saying, hey, instead of saying it this way, try it this way. It's going to sound even better. Like that's our goal, is like once we hit a certain level, we want to like keep refining it. And I like that because then it doesn't really feel like criticism.
Yeah.
It feels like we're working together to like make, like raise the bar or the standard even more.
I also like how you guys say like raising excellence, not perfection. Like
the
bar is not perfection. Which
no.
Can like, I know sometimes like, even if we can say like, oh yeah, no, we're going for excellence, but in reality, your excellence is perfection for some people.
Right. Yeah.
Which
sometimes like, when you go for we're like chasing perfection, it almost feels like fake, because you're like, you're willing to give up like the personal touch to it or being genuine because you're going for this perceived perfection and then anything that falls down. But like, if I'm going for perfection and I say I'm giving like heartfelt story and I'm like tearing up, you'd almost think like, oh, that's not perfection. He should be able to fight through that. But if I'm speaking and that story from, you know, Guatemala is hitting me again, like, and I'm going to get emotional, that's showing that I'm genuine.
Mm-hmm.
At least I hope so. Like, that's what I wanted to come across.
Yeah.
It's not like a planned thing. But when you get to be genuine, and I remember even in one of your sermons, I said, hey, tell that story where you didn't come out looking great.
Yeah.
That meant more than if you were always the hero.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then it's like that perfection thing, but it's not real. Because how many students / people in the congregation are like perfect?
No one.
None. But how many have gone through a real story where they regretted an interaction with a friend and then they got called out on it and realized, oh, I can be better?
Yeah.
Probably 90% of people, right? So like that makes you relatable, and then people will lean in and listen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, you mentioned something that I think is actually kind of an interesting thing to think about. It's like perfection's just perceived. It's not actual, like, there's sometimes objective perfection, but I think we perfection sometimes is just, like, subjective, like, because we aim for perfection, like you were saying, and we just think this is perfection because that's what they want to hear,
yeah.
Not because that is what they want to hear, which is, like, something interesting I just thought about.
Yeah, because then you're no longer speaking, like, maybe even truthfully, you're going by what you think that they want to hear, and then it takes away like all personal stuff to it, because then mm-hmm. you might as well just be reading a script or just show a YouTube video of like a perfect message or you know, something. And it's like,
especially with like messages and other things like that, there is like, how do you be perfect?
Yeah, it's impossible. Like, you can't. Yeah, there's no chance.
It's like different if it's like, I don't even know like what you can give as an example of like perfect, like a test. Like, that's the only thing I can think of is just, like, you ace a math test.
Yeah.
That's perfect. But like, that's the only thing I can think of objective perfection.
So maybe we should give quizzes after our sermons and be like, what did you get out of this? A, B, or C, right? No, you want to be able to speak like genuine stories. And I love the stories when pastors get up there and they tell stories where mm-hmm. they're not the hero.
Yeah.
Because we're like, nobody cares about those stories. Mm. But when you tell a story about how like you didn't do something, you like missed the mark pretty, you know, easily. Like, you know,
you're more
a
relatable.
High percentage of people in the audience is gonna think like, yeah, I can relate to that because I'm not as good. I'm not where I want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm like, hey, I do my devotions every single day at 6 a.m. and I never miss it, and everyone in the audience is like, I can't relate to that.
Hmm.
Like, I had to hit my alarm. I'm like, I barely made it through. I forgot to say a prayer today. But if you say like, hey, I'm not where I want to be, but I know where I'm aiming for it. Let's see if we can get there together.
Mm.
That's when people are listening. Like, yes, like I can do that. I can maybe get excited about that with you.
How did you see me like grow over the course of the internship?
You spoke up much more towards the end, which was nice. In the beginning, I think you're probably trying to get your footing and being like, hey, what should I be doing? And I think towards the probably like the middle towards the end, like you were really flourishing during kids camp. Right. Like, so that's like about halfway through or something. Mm-hmm. But that's when you're like, you're offering your ideas too. And it's like, that's really where we want. Mm-hmm. Like in the beginning, it was like you were following all these directions. You did it well. And then about a kids camp when we're live on stage. Right. Like all of a sudden, like we're running out. We're playing these games on stage. You started throwing out ideas. Or even better, you were just doing it because you knew that's what needed to be done. Like, mm-hmm. you didn't have to be like, Lance, is this good? Like, making sure. You just ran out on stage with the next thing because you knew that's what we had already discussed it. You knew that was next, or you knew how you could, like, help the person that was out there. So I think you were more vocal in the second half, which is what you want, right? Learn in the beginning and then be able to take over, mm-hmm. which was really nice.
Yeah, I definitely think a part of the intern or the residency that was difficult for me, and I don't know how much you saw me improve in this, was like still being like willing to like talk mm-hmm. like to like the students, because like I don't know, it was hard for me to be, since I am like I would say I'm like half and half extroverted and introverted, but it was just like really like, I don't know, I felt really like introverted during the like internship.
Well, it's interesting because, like, going up on stage, basically having to fill time or stall
mm-hmm.
is one of, like, the least comfortable things in the world, right? Like, and the closest thing that you went through with that is, like, to start our Sunday morning services, we have, like, the welcome and announcements, and then we go into our trivia game, and then, we call them sword drills, looking through the Bible to get familiar with it. So, like, that silly banter of, like, interacting with students, you could tell you weren't super comfortable doing it. And almost nobody is, right? Like, because everything you say is off the cuff. And everything the person who's up there says is off the cuff and in the moment. So that's really difficult. But in the beginning, when I was just like, hey, like, you've seen this a couple times, now it's your turn. Like, you could tell that you weren't super comfortable. You were willing to do it,
mm-hmm.
which is good, because that willingness to clunk through things and to kind of like, oh, is this funny? Is this not funny? But the more you do it, the more you get comfortable. By the end, you're just like, give me the mic, I'm ready. And you could just go up there and do that.
Yeah. What were other areas of growth, like, or areas that I could grow in, you think?
I would say for everybody, like, I would say you do this a little bit, but not as much as some people, but it helps for everybody, is to listen when people are talking fully. So, like, there's a lot of people who do this, a very annoying thing, and I don't think you do this fully, where... Like, say I'm telling a story. I'm a marathoner and I've run a bunch, right? Like, and I ran this 50 miler in the mountain. And whenever I would tell that story, undoubtedly, as soon as I was done speaking, like the second I was done, people would be like, I heard of a guy who ran 100 miles. And he was barefoot, I think. Like, he was an amazing guy. It's like they couldn't wait for me to stop speaking so they could tell their story. And they do that all the time, even in church. And I don't even have to be telling a big deal story. But it could be like, oh, I went to the movies with my family this weekend and my daughter Katora loved it. And they'd be like, oh, I went and saw it too. And here are my thoughts. It's like they can't even wait for you to be quiet so they can start speaking. And I would say you do that a little bit. And if you learn not to do that, like, I think you would engage in conversations with students even more. Because when, like, say we're all standing in our fellowship hall and a kid's telling us a story, I think the number one thing we can do, no matter how uninteresting it is or how I have something more interesting, the first thing I do when they stop telling a story is I ask them a question about the story. And it's like, because now all of a sudden they think, oh, my youth pastor was listening to me. And I'm able to, like, talk more. Because now, all of a sudden, if they're like, hey, I played a soccer game. And I'm like, I played soccer in high school. It's like, all of a sudden, I turn it to me. That's not fun for them. But if I'm like, hey, how did you play? And then they always say, well, the team did good. I'm like, no. How did you play? Like, did you have fun? Did you play well? And you can tell that they all of a sudden are engaged because they have, like, an older person who's interested in them. So I would say keep working on that. Become great at that. Yeah. Like, you're going to have the conversations flow so much easier. And I mean, you could do that in college and in life too, because there's some adults that interrupt me in stories too. And they're like, I'm getting interrupted by something less interesting. Like, that's not fair. So,
and we always think we're more interesting, which is weird to think about.
Right. Yes, we do. We do. Because we've been thinking that whole time, I have a story that's better than this, you know? So I have a friend that I had to confront about it. I'm like, just let them finish their story. So then you can, like, ask them a question, not so you can then try to top them. Because nobody wants to be top. This is their moment. And so few of us have, like, real moments to shine. Like, you're going to get, no matter what you end up doing, you're going to have moments where you're speaking from a stage and people are going to be listening to you. Some people have never have that. So their real moment to shine is in, like, a group of four people telling the one story about their weekend. It's like, just give them it. Let them have it. Give them a question, something that they can talk about it a little more.
Got it.
So I think when you get that even more, I think that'll help with that introverted feeling that you express, because it's like it's a forced extrovertedness. Yeah,
gotcha. And it
keeps conversation going.
Yeah, is that how, like, I don't know, like, you seem pretty extroverted though. So, like, how do you have to, like, force yourself sometimes to?
Yes, and I appear much more extroverted than I really am. Because you and I have even talked about, like, there's nothing I enjoy more than being alone. Like, I want to read a book. I want to scroll on my phone on, like, things that I'm interested in. I want to just, like, be by myself to wind down. But, yeah, I love being around students. I love being around my children. But I get my energy back by kind of being alone. So I've had to learn to be outgoing. I had to learn to, like, engage in conversation more. And I think a lot of it stemmed when I was the first in youth ministry, like, my first or second year. There was a guy on our team, his name was Drew, and he was awesome on stage. He could tell any story. He could make everybody laugh. He was just great going on stage. And then, like, 8 months in, he left. He had to go back to Massachusetts. So all of a sudden, our youth ministry is left with no one to do that. And I didn't want to be that guy. The people I worked with didn't want to be that guy. And my sister, who I worked in youth ministry with, we needed someone to go on stage. And she's like, Lance, that's you. I'm like, I don't want to do that. And she's like, there's no one else. And I was like, you're right. I have to go do that. And I went up and I did whatever that silly thing was. And it was difficult and I was embarrassed. But by the end, the kids appreciated it. And I was like, you know, that wasn't so bad. And I kept thinking about it. I'm like, I can do that. Because then I started thinking about this line that it's become like my personal mantra, which I brought it into the student leadership team, which is make yourself uncomfortable so other people are comfortable. And I realized that the more I do that, the more I make myself uncomfortable, the more everyone else is going to enjoy themselves, the more that they're going to be comfortable. Like, if I'm going up to someone with a student and we're going to go pray for that person, that student's scared in the moment to pray for them. All right, let me make myself uncomfortable so they feel more comfortable. We do that a couple of times. The third or fourth time, they're going to be able to pray for that person. But if I was too scared, neither of us would have gone up to that person, if that makes sense. So I'm thinking of that, like, on a missions trip. But I think that has helped me a lot. I spend a lot of time thinking about ways that I don't want to be. Like, I'll watch other people and be like, oh, I don't want to be like that guy. How can I adjust myself to, like, not do that? And often that is like, well, be more outgoing. Be a little bit more friendly. Or don't speak when someone's talking, like, little things like that. So a lot of my personality is, like, trained into either a way I want to be or a way I don't want to be. hoping for the benefit of others, because I want to be able to like be a blessing to everybody. And sometimes it's you got to make yourself uncomfortable because that will help everyone else.
Gotcha. If you could give me like one piece of advice moving forward in ministry, or honestly, even just like my journey, potentially in ministry or not in ministry, what would it be?
I mean, it's hard to think of something that I would offer as advice that's different than make yourself uncomfortable so other people are comfortable. If you do that, more and more people want to be around you. Like, this is you plural, right? Like anybody. The more you're willing to do things for other people, the more people will look to you as like a helpful person and want you around. Then you're able to actually make a difference and like an impact in every area that you're at. Because what you did while you're here is you basically said, hey, I'm here to be used by you guys. Like, what do you need? And that was super helpful, because not only were there are certain things that I know Declan can do well. So I was like, hey, I need you to speak. Hey, I need you to open the sermon. I need you to the service. I need you to do like whatever this planning stuff is, because you're just naturally good at that stuff. But it was like, hey, this is also a tedious task that I need someone to do. And you're like, give me it. Like, I got this. But that made me think, like, I can trust Declan with the important things, but I can also trust Declan with, like, the mundane things that I'm not going to be here for. And I knew it was going to get done. Like, I never have to worry about, like, is that stage game that we did with the puzzles, is that going to be done by today? No, Declan said, I'm going to do it. I never once doubted anything that you say I'm going to do. There's been people in the past that are like, I'll get that done this week. And I'm like, no, it won't. Like, and I know it won't. And I need to clear my schedule for next week so I can make sure I get done what they were supposed to do. But I didn't have to worry about that with you. So I think keep doing those things where you said, like, you want to be an extra set of hands. Not only that, are you going to be like a plus to people around you, but they're going to want you around even more. Because it's like, I can trust Declan. I can rely on him.
What like encouragement would you give to someone that's listening who's considering an internship or a residency in youth ministry or just ministry in general?
Well, a residency in general or an internship really is fantastic, because you get to test the waters. You get to see what you want to do. One of the best examples I can think of is Pastor Matt, who is the other youth pastor here at Walnut Hill. He started at his first residency was in the tech team. He did like audio and visual on Sunday mornings. Like, he was doing slides, he was doing the lights and the audio and stuff on Sunday morning, because that's what he thought he wanted to do. And then he started doing that, but he's in the culture of church, and he started thinking, well, maybe there's something else I want to do. Maybe I should do an internship in something else. But he realized that by doing the internship in tech, I don't want to do this. And that's great, right? Right? You figure that out. And then he went, I'm not even sure if there was a middle one, but then he ended up doing an internship in youth, and he's like, oh, this is my wheelhouse. Like, this is what I'm, not only do I like it, but I'm good at it. So then he decided, like, I'm going to keep pursuing this. So one of the beautiful things is do a residency in anything you think you might have interest in. Because, like, if you're interested in cars, ask a local mechanic, hey, can I work for you for free for a summer? I promise you they're going to find something for you to do. And then you get to be in the culture of like everything cars. And you get to see like, oh, do I like this? Do I hate it? Same with like any kind of like woodworking or plumbing. Like, if you think you might like it, do it and actually find out. So many kids will go into school and they're like, I want to be a teacher. And then they get there and they're like, I hate kids. It's like, you probably don't want to be a teacher. Like, you have to find those things out just by doing them. And I think finding them out when you're 20 is so much better than finding them out when you're 26 entering that job. Like, oh, am I going to like this? Well, I don't know. But if you already down that path, you might already be too far gone. You could have found it out in an internship when you were 19.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for doing this and also hiring me.
You're welcome. Well, Declan, thank you so much. And you are not only just like super helpful to have around, you're very fun have around too. You have a great sense of humor, and I can tell like the students love being around you, and anytime we got to spend together was a real joy. So thank you for doing it.
I wish I could be here more often. I mean that really. Like, when I said I could be an extra set of hands, I truly mean that. I'm like, I wish I, you know, didn't have to go to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm like, how do I fly out here each week? It's like,
well, know that you are certainly welcome back. If you need an internship next year or residency for next summer, I'd fight for you to get that spot again. You know, and you'd be doing even more, and you'd be doing the same things but at a higher level. You'd be doing the speaking maybe at camp this year, so it'd be very cool.
All right, I'll think about it. Definitely. Well, yeah, thank you so much though.
You got it. Thank you.
Yeah, so thank you again, Lance, for doing that interview. It was kind of last minute. I think I brought it up to him the week before, so thank you for being able to do that. But yeah, youth ministry internship was definitely an experience. As I think, I don't know if I mentioned it, but I was doing a lot of the, or I don't know if it was mentioned in the interview, sorry, but I was doing a lot more of the kind of behind the scenes work and management stuff, which I honestly preferred rather than going up there and interacting with the kids, which is weird for me because, like, I'm a weird, like, ambivert. Like, I'm fine talking to people, but I'd rather go in public speak than go up to a new person and start a conversation with them. It's just how I am. It's just, I don't know how to explain it, but just, yeah. So, yeah, there was a little bit of struggles with that personally. Being kind of more extroverted and talking and making interactions. I didn't make that many interactions with people. I made a couple, but not any, like, mega super close, I think, people from that, which also kind of makes sense because, I mean, I'm the youth intern. I'm not supposed to be their youth pastor. So it kind of makes sense. I know some other kids, though, I got to meet that were great. I know someone who actually listened to this podcast and DM'd me on Instagram, so shout out to him. You know who you are. But, yeah. Youth ministry was fun. I did know going into it a lot of the responsibilities I would have. I assumed it would be a lot of back-end stuff and a lot of, like, hey, do this, this, and this. Like, hey, clean the closet. Hey, you know, can you set this up? Can you set this thing up? Or, yeah, can we get prepared for this? Can you go buy pizzas for, you know, the kids? Like, it was a lot of stuff that I inherently kind of knew would happen, both because of experience being there as a youth person, I don't know, like a student there, and then also learning it from my classes and hearing a lot of the management side, I guess you would say, from the ministry aspect of it. It wasn't just all, you know, events. It takes a lot of planning to do those events. And even though I kind of knew from classes, I didn't really understand what it meant until I experienced it. But, man, ministry was tiring. I remember at least every day after kids camp, which is different because kids camp was our VBS, basically. So you're high energy all the time there. But it was like after every single VBS, I had to go back to where I was staying and just take a nap because I was just exhausted. By the end of weeks, I was exhausted. It was weird. I never take more naps than I have, unless you're counting school. It's usually after ministry things. Like, post-church naps have became, like, a routine for me because of just how, like, exhausted I felt afterwards of, not because, like, it was tiring to be there, but just, it was a lot of work. And not work that I expected, and I don't know how to fully explain it. Like, I was happy to be there, and I was happy to do all these things, but it was just tiring at the end of the day. I would say overall, though, as well, one of the biggest takeaways I had with the internship was understanding that most likely I will never be what Lance will be, in the sense of I don't think I ever will be a youth pastor, partly because, A, like I said earlier, I'm just not that big of an extrovert. And talking to people had always been, like, kind of the weird, like, I don't want to make new connections, but that's kind of, you know, a necessity as a youth pastor. I think part of also why I never will be what Lance will be, or what a youth, again, stop saying what Lance will be, but I will never probably be a youth pastor or even, like, a head pastor of any church is because, like I said, I think I just prefer the management side of things. I prefer the laid-back approach. I prefer doing a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. I've noticed that, I mean, throughout my entire life, I've done editing for a long time. I've done graphics for a long time, or not a long time, really, been doing graphics for the past couple of years. But a lot of the stuff that I enjoy doing is a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff. A lot of, like, not getting the recognition for it, but just doing stuff that people enjoy, and they'd rather see the product, and I'm the person behind who makes the product, if that makes sense. I think also another thing I learned, and I mentioned this, is, like, my attitude towards serving. I mentioned this, I think, I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast yet, but I went on a missions trip for the first time in March of this year with the track team. We went to 12th Rock and did some stuff there, and I was kind of scared going on the mission trip because I know who I am and I'm lazy at times. So I was like, oh, I know I'm going to be like, oh, I don't want to do this, and just be like lazy and not be willing to do this. But when I was there, it was surprising like how willing I was. Just like, yeah, of course I'll do this. Like, it wasn't a second thought for me. And that's kind of the same thing with Lance. When he asked me, like, hey, can you do this? Like, sometimes, like, they weren't my favorite tasks. Like, I remember when he told me to go clean the closet the first time, I was like, okay, I don't really want to do this, but I'll go do it. Like, it's what he asked me doing, so I'll do it. But other things that he told me to do were just like, yeah, other people would have seen them as tedious. I was just like, yeah, of course I'll do that. Yeah, let me go do that real quick. Like, it really did reveal to me, like, how much I am willing to serve, which was a good thing for me to see. But, yeah, the other thing I think I saw was, if I am in ministry, it will be more of a management role, and it won't be of a lead pastor role. I think, in some ways, I even said, like, I don't think I'll go into ministry. I think I will go do more of a video editing role. That's just how I saw myself at the time. It's kind of how I see myself now, but I don't know. It's more of a, like, it's a lot of trial and error, and I'm glad I did the internship. Yeah. I don't know how long this podcast will be. It's turning out to be about less than an hour, which is fine for me, because that means, A, less to edit, but also, B, just consistency within the episodes. I think obviously we had the long episode one of an hour 41, but then the episode zero was about 30 something minutes, and episode two was like 40 minutes ish, or vice versa. But yeah, I remember hearing something of like, if you can do your stuff, if you can do your vocational ministry without being in working for a church, do it. Or something along those lines, and I had to think about it, and I was just like, huh, because the role of a pastor is a very hefty role. It's a very time-consuming, it's a very spiritually, I don't know what the correct word is, but it's a lot of spiritual effort, and not that I didn't have my heart into it, because I remember being there and wanting to, you know, impact the kids and stuff, but it was just a lot of work. And I think certain people are called for that work, and some aren't. I don't know if I want to force myself to give that effort if I'm not called for that effort. There's a lot of different things that go into ministry, and I'm glad to be one of the helping hands. And I remember saying to Lance, and you heard this on the interview, but like I say it multiple times, and I do really mean it. If I was there, I wish I could just be a set of helping hands. Just to be a set of hands for them to do other things, because it makes their life easier, and I'm fine doing it. But I'm at college now, so I kind of can't. I can't fly out to Connecticut every single week. That'd be kind of expensive. But overall, it was definitely a positive experience. Staff meetings were always nice. But yeah, like again, I said, overall, the internship was definitely a positive. So yeah, I'm excited I did it. I'm glad I did it. So yeah, that's kind of all I have for today. The main thing was the interview with Lance, and I think going over that really covered a lot of the areas that I wanted to cover. The only area that I think I covered here was like realizing that ministry is tiring, and that ministry requires a lot of work, which I kind of knew going into it. But yeah, and there was a lot of different like hidden things that I kind of knew. It wasn't thrown off by it. So yeah, part of that again had to do with classes. Part of that had to do with experience. But yeah, once again, I thank you guys so much for watching this episode of the Shay Show. I have no plans for the next episode, because I know what the next episode is, but the episode after that, I have no plans, so we'll see what ends up happening with that, also with scheduling college and all that other stuff. So yeah, we'll see if I upload more during the college semester. But yeah, hope you guys enjoyed, and I'll see y'all next time.